How many books do you know of that address topics of education and welfare, local government, state government, taxation, money and banking, free markets, courts, war and the military, and the executive power? How many books do you know actually talk about these topics from a biblical perspective and set forth all of the issues, the ideas, the history, and the hurdles, and the blueprints for the way forward? Hi, I'm Joel McDermott with AmericanVision.org. In Restoring America One County at a Time, I cover all these topics and more, showing you how America was once free, how those freedoms were lost, and giving you an uncompromising biblical approach to get those freedoms back. I focus on practical steps, local solutions, personal sacrifices, and it has a multi-generational vision. So don't just sit around talking about restoring America. Actually do something. And you can start by getting my book, Restoring America One County at a Time, at AmericanVision.org.
Koinonia, Christian fellowship, communion with God and with fellow Christians. Koinonia, an association of people who share common beliefs and activities. This is Koinonia. This is community. And now your host, Tom Brown.
I would say if the authorities didn't want us involved in the public square, they ought not to have crucified Jesus in the public square.
Use humanistic principles.
Well, I would say
the same idea.
I would say
same
that. I would say, what's the problem with stardust bumping into stardust?
In the cosmic picture, no, there's no problem. In the cosmic picture, it won't matter.
No, Mr. President, you are not protecting reproductive freedom. You are authorizing the destruction of freedom for 1 million little human beings every year.
I'm sorry, my friends, but I am tired of seeing Jesus presented as a weak beggar. He is a powerful Savior, and the gospel is not a suggestion, it is a command.
Reverend Mola, don't you sympathize with that?
I sympathize with every single human heart wishing to know the one true and living God, but I believe there's only one way that that can happen, through Jesus Christ, and the gospel is about repenting of sin, not celebrating it.
Right now, you're on the threshold of an amazing adventure. We will explore the spiritual abyss. You have not experienced this before. You're gonna love it.
Wait a minute, that's not Tom. What is that? That's not Tom. That's right, this is Apologia Radio. This is your host, Jeff Durbin. We're filling in for Tom right now. This is not Koinonia, is it, guys?
No.
Not Koinonia. This is more like, this is Apologia Radio. So what do we call that? Koinagia? This is Koinagia. This is Koinagia today, filling in for Tom. This is Jeff Durbin with Apologia Church, pastor over there. And this is Apologia Radio, heard Saturdays from 4 to 6 p.m. right here on 1360 KPXQ. You can get our radio program at apologiaradio.com. I am one of your hosts, Jeff Durbin, one of the hosts at Apologia Radio, with my other wonderful host, and that's Luke Pearson, who has a wonderful, delicious man beard.
I'm the dude, so that's what you call me, you know? That or his dudeness or duder or, El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
So is that it for today? Do you want me to call you the dude, his dudeness?
If you want,
he's probably his beardness. Because
yeah,
if you
that's
don't,
good.
Yeah, Luke is a big, 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 big man. He takes like six chairs to fill up the radio studio with big old beard.
Yeah.
And we forgot to, of course, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention our other host, wonderful
correct.
Host. We also have the one that tempers us, that brings us down a level, and that is Joy Tembe.
Hello.
Otherwise known as the girl.
Yes.
Or the Tembe.
Yeah, the Tembe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, guys?
Cowbell, baby.
I mean, that's what I gotta say. Is that doesn't even fit today's show, does it? No,
I don't
does
think it ever has.
Ever fit no. when you play it?
Yeah,
does it ever fit?
I think Tom's normal listeners right now are saying, "What did I turn?"
What's
it,
you guys are little, in shock mode right now?
Koinonia.
Yes.
Hopefully, that's not some horrible Greek word.
Apologia. Apologia Radio and Koinonia teaming up for Apologia. Koinonia. I don't know. Hey, just one thing I want you guys to know about the show is that we love Jesus. This show is hard-hitting. It's gospel-centered. It's culturally relevant. We like to hit tough issues in the culture and bring the gospel into it. We like to say we like to get the culture and we like to rub its face against the gravel. like that against the gravel and bring the gospel into the culture. So we deal with cultural issues, bringing the gospel to them. And how do we address these issues with the Bible as our foundation? How do we bring transformation to the world via the gospel that's reconciled relationships with God first and foremost? But we like to have answers as Christians to what the culture brings to us. And so with that, we are introducing you today to Apologia Radio. You can hit us up at apologiaradio.com or go to Facebook and like us at Apologia Radio. Today's going to be awesome. We're going to do prank calls. We're going to teach you to defend your faith today. Apologiaradio.com. Koinagia, baby.
Apologia Radio will be right back.
What's up? This ain't Tom. This is Jeff Durbin with Apologia Radio. Catch us and listen to the gospel heard around the world at Apologia Radio Saturdays from 4 to 6 p.m. right here on 1360 KPXQ. Kapixku. Right here in Phoenix.
Wow.
And you can get us at apologiaradio.com. We are a ministry of Apologia Church in Tempe, Arizona. That's east of Guadalupe in rural in Tempe. We are a church plant meeting out of Gethsemane Lutheran Church. So what's the show about, guys? What do we do here? What's going on here?
That's a great question.
Yeah. So what do? We hit cultural issues with the gospel. We bring it into it, political issues, social issues, all kinds of tough stuff, issues that are difficult for Christians to respond to at times, sexual issues, issues of abortion, issues, again, with political stuff. How does the gospel address those issues? But we also like to deal a lot in apologetics, and that is giving a reasoned defense for our faith. Really, the word apologia comes from 1 Peter 3:15, where Peter calls all Christians to be ready with a reasoned defense for the hope that's within them. And that word there, reason defense, is the word essentially apologia. And so Apologia Church and Apologia Radio, we're all about getting into the world with the gospel of the kingdom, bringing it to it with reason defense. And so we like to sort of equip our listeners to this show with answers that regarding challenges that come to our faith. And so that's what we do on the show, right, guys?
Mm-hmm.
We bring a lot of guests in, really well-known, world-renowned scientists, scholars, theologians, to deal with the tough topics to help us. We like to, we'll probably in the next few weeks here be having atheists on to do debates with us, and so we like to do those things. And so it's an engaging show, it's a culturally relevant show, it's a gospel-centered show, and so that's what we're about, right, guys?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think if I had to sum it up in one statement, you know, we talk about on Apologia Radio that we live in a culture of death. And we want to try to promote a culture of life by trying to change the culture one heart at a time. We realize that we can't do it in one big foul swoop, but we want to do it one heart at a time with the gospel, and that's how we approach everything.
That's right.
And also, more importantly, we have a lot of ridiculous sound clips.
Yes, we do. We do. And like, for example, I want everyone to know that with Luke on the show, he's my best friend, and I want, Luke, I want to say something to all, so all the listeners can hear this right now.
Care for you more than anything else they is.
I do, Luke. I just
care for you more than anything else they is.
Well, I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
No, what's the matter with you people? I was joking. Don't you know a joke when you hear one?
That clip's on purpose because what we're about to do is probably offend some Christians. What I'm going to do here, and we're going to see how this works out. Let's just give it a shot. We're going to do it live on the air here. We're going to prank call Duncan.
Yes.
Duncan is a pastor. He's a friend of ours. He's from Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Australia. And he's hilarious, actually, First and foremost. But we've done prank calls on our show before. If you go to apologiaradio.com, you're going to hear some shows where we prank call Christian bookstores. We prank called another pastor friend of ours. So you can listen to that. We're going to do something really, this is, we've never done something like this live on the air.
Yeah.
Prank calling Duncan. Now, I'm scared, though, because honestly, think about it for a second. He's going to know.
Yeah, he is. He is. You're going to have this ridiculous voice.
You're not encouraging me at all.
You're going to be saying ridiculous things.
It's going to be
amazing.
And
we're recording this on April Fool's Day.
Remember there's a rule here, and you cannot look at my eye.
Oh my gosh.
You cannot look at my eyes. You got that? Mm-hmm. We settled on
don't
this?
Don't worry. I'll probably be on the floor again.
Okay. I'm telling you guys, face. I'm serious. If you look at my, and Jeremy, you two back there, and I see you right there looking at me, you cannot look at me. If you start laughing and making like crazy gestures, I'm going to lose it right now. So here we go. I'm going to go ahead and do this. Oh, this, how am I going to do this?
Crazy gestures.
This is insane.
What would that look
okay.
like?
Okay. I'm gonna put my finger right here on this mute button in case I start laughing.
Okay, right, Jeremy's going. Go. Okay.
Okay, here we go. That's insane. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Let me try that again, guys.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that didn't work. Okay. Now I got my heart. My heart's pounding. My heart's pounding. I'm all scared now. Okay, so we're calling Pastor Duncan. And see, the thing is, he wants help from other churches. He's going to plant a church in Australia. And he thinks that I'm calling him to offer some support for what we're doing. Here we go. Let's give it a shot. Okay. I'm scared.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. 520.
Well, okay. All right.
We'll try again.
We'll try again next segment, okay? They get you guys. Are you on the edge of your seat?
I am.
Yeah.
We're just building up.
Yeah, we're just building it up. We're getting you excited for it. All right. So, okay. Hopefully next segment, we'll try to call back. This is what you get for doing it live on the air. And so let's just go ahead and leap into what we're going to do. We wanted to do two things in this show. We wanted to get involved in some tomfoolery.
Mm-hmm.
Which is Joy's word, some tomfoolery.
Yep.
And so we're gonna do our best to get into that. We're going to do some kind of prank during this show.
Yep.
And also, we're going to talk about the defense of the faith, giving a reasoned defense for the faith. And so, Luke, can you explain to our listeners what ministry we've been involved with over the last month? What have we done as Apologia Church for outreach? And we'll leap into it with you kind of explaining what we do.
Well, yeah, we have two big... really big, I should say, ministry seasons at Apologia. And I'll just backtrack by saying that we originally started Apologia as an outreach ministry before we launched the church in February of 2010. And so we basically started out doing a lot of outreach to the LDS. And if you're listening here in the Valley, I'm sure you know that you can't drive more than about half a block without seeing an LDS ward somewhere in your vicinity. So we actually, if you're not aware of this, Mesa has the second largest population of LDS in the world next to Salt Lake City.
That's you guys.
Is that true?
Yes, that is true.
Okay.
Yes, actually. And so what we just finished the last 2 weeks, they have at the LDS Temple in Mesa, they have what they call Easter Pageant, and it's a 3-story stage production they put on of the supposed life of Jesus. And it costs about $300,000 for them to put it on, and they estimate that about 100,000 people come through there in 2 weeks. So we're there during that time handing out tracts, creating relationships with the LDS, and, you know, just trying to reach them with the gospel.
Okay, so Joy, someone says to us, they say, oh, that's too in your face, that's not effective. And you shouldn't be doing that sort of a thing. And aren't they Christians too? These are obviously I'm lobbing them all at you. So let's get on it, Joy. I want solid answers for every one of those questions there. So what do you say to somebody when they hear about us as a church going out to hit the streets, you know, with our tracks and with love and grace? But they hear about us as a church going to hit the streets to the Mormon temple and to reach, you know, over 100,000 people in attendance. What's your response to that?
Well, I would say that a common response. When there's a negative response towards evangelism, I know that in my own life, the root of that has been fear,
mm-hmm.
Where you're just kind of afraid that people aren't going to like you. You're afraid to kind of be someone that's out there in your face. And to that, I would just say, obviously, that's not why we're here. We're not here for self-preservation,
right.
So that everyone... loves who we are. And I mean, to support that, I would say that in all over the Bible, Jesus and his followers would say things to people that started riots. I mean, Paul would say things that started riots.
Right.
Christ said things, and the entire group of people that he was speaking to would just completely turn away.
Walk away.
So right. I think that, you know, if you feel like we're not doing the right thing, maybe just check your heart, check the word.
Mm-hmm. Well, you say something often, and I love it. You say it's not about being what? Remember, you know what you say often? You say about being safe.
Yeah,
yeah,
it is, and it is very safe. And like I said, I can have a humble moment here and say in my own life that whenever I've been defensive about people evangelizing or being out there on the street trying to do something other than create a five-year-long relationship and then preach Christ, it's just that you don't want them to not like you. That's how what it's been for me.
Yeah.
I've just been afraid for someone to throw something in my face, ask me a question that I don't know, and that's total self-preservation there. That's not even why we're here on the earth at all.
That's right, yeah. And so obviously the problem we run into as Christians often is that we're called by Christ to bring the gospel, and Jesus warns us that if they hated him, they're going to hate us as well. And he talks about, you know, blessed are you when you're persecuted. So we hear all those things, but we don't want to engage that.
No.
We don't like to have that because we want to be safe.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we struggle with often in bringing the gospel to our friends, to our family, to those who are part of religious organizations that whose beliefs actually are in opposition to what Jesus' teachings are. Our problem is that ultimately Galatians chapter 1, Paul says, am I seeking to please men or God? If I was still seeking to please men, I would not be the servant of Christ. And so we struggle with and have to put down as part of our sanctification, as part of the own growth, the growth we have as Christians, is just having to confront our own spirit there when we feel a desire to be liked by this person. And what ends up happening is we don't actually love God's truth above the desire to be liked at that point. We want to be liked, and so we don't really cherish the truth of God and love God above this moment I'm in right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so the whole issue of bringing the gospel to our culture, you know, Christians today will talk a lot about cultural relevance, to talk about engaging the culture. But I want to say that cultural engagement should look like cultural engagement. It doesn't mean making buddies with the culture, although we want to be obviously loving and gracious and kind to the culture. We want to make friends, of course. I mean, we want to have friends that are not believers. This week I have two lunch appointments with non-believers. One's an atheist, one's actually a Mormon. And so we do that. But cultural engagement has to look like engagement. We forget the second part of that phrase, engagement. What's that mean? It means we bring the gospel to the culture, to the situation, and we engage it. And sometimes in engaging it, you're like Paul, where he goes to the synagogues in Acts chapter 9, and he argues with the Jews. Now, that resulted in the church being built up, Acts 9 says. It results in people coming to Christ, Acts 9 says. And it also resulted in the Jews who rejected what he was saying, wanting to kill him. And that often happens. And cultural engagement, to my mind, looks something like Apollos in Acts chapter 18, where it says that Apollos was eloquent, he was mighty in the scriptures, and he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, proving that Jesus was the Messiah. And when you bring the gospel to the culture, it comes with the truth of God, and that's going to be in a collision with the worldview that is not Christian. So we're going to talk about Mormonism, engaging Mormons, and I wanted to say to you, effective, praise God, I have lost count at this point as to how many people that were LDS came to Christ as a result of our ministry to the temple over the last 17 years. It has been amazing and praiseworthy, and we want to sort of equip you as to how to do this and what we do. So we'll be right back, right here, filling in for Tom, Koinagia, Pastor Jeff Durbin, ApologiaRadio.com.
Apologia Radio. Right back.
Got a tiny moment in time for life to shine, to burn away the darkness. You got one tiny moment in time for life to shine, to burn away the darkness. And one tiny moment in time.
You are listening to the sounds of Apologia Radio. It's the gospel heard around the world, right here on KPXQ, Saturdays from 4 to 6 p.m. I'm your host, Jeff Durbin. What's up?
Yo, yo, yo.
With Luke Pearson and Joy Temby. We're filling in for Tom on Koinonia. So if this shocks you, I apologize, but welcome to our world. We've hijacked the airwaves here, taken over for Tom. Again, you get us at apologiaradio.com. So we were finishing up the last segment with a discussion on Apologia Church engaged in ministry to the LDS community locally here in Arizona. And a lot of times you may hear that as a Christian and think, you know, oh, is that really effective? And some people may even say, well, aren't they Christians too? That is, in fact, what they would say about themselves. And so we have to just sort of start at the bottom here. Now, I'm going to encourage you guys, as you listen to this episode, I want you to do something if you want to get a little more filled in on this. And that is, go to YouTube, and it's a popular site, has videos on it, YouTube.
Is that new?
I don't even know what the demographic here is for Tom's show is. Is it like 60-year-olds, or was it like 75-year-olds? Or no, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
We're trying to gain followers.
I'm just
here.
Teasing. So at YouTube, go to YouTube, type in Jeff Durbin, D-U-R-B-I-N, and Mormon. No, I'm not, but it will help you sort of like filter through the rest of the videos. There's lots of video of us dialoguing on the street with LDS missionaries, bishops, professors, things like that. And also have some videos up of me speaking at churches. I just recently spoke at Cornerstone Church, which is in Chandler, a pretty large church, did their Sunday services for them and also their Bible study service throughout the week. And it was on Tuesday. And there's a message up there online. And I believe if you just type in Jeff Durbin, Cornerstone, and Mormon, you'll be able to pull up about a 40-minute message or so I gave on this in full detail. But let's at least start at the starting position. Where do we begin with this? What has to be understood? Okay. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. So as Christians, we say we love the one who's the embodiment of truth. Christians are supposed to be the ones the people out of everybody in the world that are the ones that love truth, want to embrace truth, want to uphold truth, and because we love the one who's the embodiment of truth. The Christian message comes with exclusive claims. I mean, just think about what Jesus says there. I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He says that he is the truth, the exclusive way to the Father. That's exclusive by nature. That is how truth operates. It is by nature of the fact that it's true, exclusive. When you look at, say, 2 John verse 9, in the first century, John, he says that if anyone comes and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, he does not have God. And so there's a clear demarcation, a line drawn between those who know God and those who don't, based on their abiding in the teaching of Christ, in the doctrine of Christ. And so it was something the early Christians believed you could do, and that's to say, this is falsehood, this is truth, this is error, this is not. And so John says that essentially if someone does not abide in the teaching of Christ, they do not have God, they don't know him. Think about the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 1. What is he saying, Galatians chapter 1? He says that that if anyone comes and preaches another gospel contrary to the one that he preached, let him be anathema. He says that even if an angel came from heaven and preached any other gospel, let them be anathema. That's the strongest word he could have pulled from the Greek language, essentially, to describe eternal separation from God forever. And so clearly, the Apostle Paul is dealing in the first century with a distortion of the gospel message. And we have to come to this question, what does the Mormon church say about God and the gospel? Because I want to just suggest to you something. It's not the non-essential issues that we're quibbling about here. We are talking about the major issues. Who is God? What is the gospel? Now, here's the challenge initially. Mormonism speaks Christianese. They speak our language. They've borrowed the language from the Christian ghetto, and they use it. They talk about God. They talk about gospel. They talk about Jesus. They talk about salvation. They talk about cross. They talk about resurrection. But the struggle is that while they use our terminology, they do not mean what we mean when we say those things. For example, if you say God, let's say Christ, let's say if you say Jesus to a Christian, they're automatically going through to the scriptures themselves to think through what does the Bible say about Jesus? What does the revelation of God itself tell us about who Jesus is? We think along the lines of John chapter 1, where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it says the same was in the beginning with God. And it says that all things came into being through him. And without him, nothing's come into being that's come into being. And so what's that say about Jesus? Guys, think about it. It says that Jesus has existed from all eternity alongside the Father, that he is God, and that he created everything in existence. And without him, nothing came into being that's come into being. That's the Jesus of Scripture. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 says that Jesus created all things in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or rulers and authorities, all things have been created by Jesus. That's the biblical Jesus. But Paul warns in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, there are other Jesuses, other gospels, other spirits. They cannot save. So what does Mormonism teach about Jesus? Well, first, it teaches about God, that God was once a man who had gods before him, who had gods before them, and you could become a god one day yourself. Joseph Smith, the first prophet of Mormonism, taught in the King Follett Discourse. He says, we've imagined and supposed that God was God from all eternity. Well, that's what Christians believe. Joseph says, I will refute that idea and take away the veil so that you may see. You've got to learn to become gods yourselves the same way all gods had done before you. He says, in the beginning, there was a council of gods, and they came together and concocted and prepared a plan to create the world and to people it. Famous quote in Mormonism is, as man is, God once was, and as God is, man may become. The ultimate goal in Mormonism is to work through exaltation based on your works and obedience to the laws and ordinances of the gospel, the third article of faith says, for salvation, you must work your way up to godhood. Mormonism teaches that you can become a god one day. That is the ultimate goal, to be a god and goddess of your own planet one day. God was once a man with a body as tangible as man's, as of flesh and bones, and he became a god one day. And what does it say about Jesus? Jesus is not the eternal God, existent forever as God, but Jesus is the offspring of Elohim, a resurrected God, and one of his polygamous wives in the pre-existence. That Jesus and Lucifer, according to Mormonism, are spirit brothers. And so are we all in Mormon theology. But Jesus is the spirit brother of Lucifer, not the creator of Lucifer, not eternally God, but one God among many gods. Now, as Christians, we have to handle that and say, what does the Bible say about this? It says, Isaiah 43:10, before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Isaiah 44:6 says, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Mormonism does not believe that God is the first or the last. And then God says in Isaiah 44:8, he asks a rhetorical question. He says, is there a God besides me? Indeed, there is no other God. I know not one. So when we go to the Mormon temple, what we're doing is we're coming with love, with grace, with respect, with humility, and with concern for the LDS community to tell them, we want to share with you what God says about himself. We believe that Joseph Smith taught a false God and a false gospel. And so we want to approach that community with love and compassion and grace, realizing the only thing that separates them from us is a five-letter word, grace. And the God that they're teaching door-to-door daily in our neighborhoods is a different God. And also they teach a different gospel. The third article of faith says that through the atonement of Jesus Christ, everyone can be saved. And then it adds something. Through obedience to the laws and ordinances of the gospel. Yeah. Christians who are listening right now in your car, listen to this quote. Tell me if you would finish this for me. I'll give you the start of it. Ready? By grace are you saved. And now right now in your mind you're thinking, oh, I know this. That's through faith and that. Not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not according to works, lest any man should boast. That's Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Pastor Jeff, I know that one. Well, listen to what it actually says according to Joseph. By grace are you saved after all you can do. 2 Nephi 25:23. Mormonism teaches that it is not through the perfect, sufficient work of Jesus, his sinless life, his death on the cross, and his resurrection that we are saved through faith in him. It teaches that we are saved through a combination of faith in this version of Jesus, and also our obedience to the laws and ordinances of the gospel. Mormonism teaches another gospel, a gospel which cannot save. This is not an issue of Starbucks or tea or any of the other non-essentials that exist between Mormons. Mormons are some of the sweetest, most zealous, most amazing people you'll ever meet in your life, but they have a God that is not the God of the Bible or any gospel that is not the gospel that saves. And so I want you to hear real fast, though, what does it sound like when we go out there? Are we, like, in their face, like, beating them up? I want you to hear somebody who walks up to Luke and I when we're handing out tracts at the temple. And Mormons call, by the way, Christians who do this anti-Mormons. And so I want you to hear the conversation. She is a little thrown by what happened here.
You guys.
What?
Did you guys get one of these?
What is it?
You guys LDS?
Yep.
Yeah. For you guys, basic teachings of the LDS Church, and it compares them to the Bible on the inside. So, yeah. You were on your mission before? No?
I thought you guys were, like, the anti...
Oh, yeah, I think you would call us anti, but we're not anti-Mormon. We disagree with what your church teaches. We love you guys. That's why we're here. Yeah. I know they have a picture of, like, anti-Mormons. Like, we have, like, sharp nails and teeth, and, like, we're out here ready to pounce on you guys.
I was just messing.
No, I know. No, we're anti-Mormon. That's what we would be called. You know? No, we're just here. If you look at it, it's basic teachings of, like, Joseph Smith, Brigham Young, and it just compares them to the Bible on the inside. Things like Joseph taught that there were gods before God, and that you can become one day. But the Bible clearly says that before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. That God's the first and the last. There's no gods besides him. So stuff like that. It's comparing the God of the Bible with the God that Joseph told us about. And it's just really encouraging Mormons to look at the scriptures to see if what Joseph taught about God was actually consistent with what God said.
Definitely.
Cool, man. And what's your name?
I'm Brett.
Jeff, man. It's a pleasure to meet you. And
I'm Cassie.
I'm Jeff, the anti-Mormon.
I really enjoyed your reaction.
There you go. So you see, it's not with nasty behavior. It's with love and grace. And of course, there are times where there is discussion, dialogue, where there's conflict. Mm-hmm. But that's the spirit in which we go out there in. And so, guys, as we're wrapping up this segment, just a quick thing you want to fill in there.
Anything? Well, I was just going to say that the reason why the spirit of it is love is because the reason we're there is love.
Right.
It's not just to be right.
Yeah.
And say, you know, we're different. See, they're not Christians. That's not, we don't have this like loyalty to the word Christian that we need it to be ours and ours alone.
Yeah.
But the burden is to be there to get people to come to Christ and come out of this religion that is false and is not going to get them to heaven. And it's not going to even get them their own planet one day.
That's right.
I was going to say real quick, what you didn't hear me say at the beginning was I said, God bless you. And that's why she was like, wait, what?
She was thrown
by
that.
And she didn't sneeze.
Yeah, exactly. Amen.
ApologiaRadio.com is where you get us. You've been listening to the gospel heard around the world, Apologia Radio, Saturdays from 4 to 6 p.m. right here on 1360 KPXQ.
Apologia Radio. We'll be right back.
What's up? Welcome back to Apologia Radio. Hit us up at apologiaradio.com. Filling in for Tom today. This is Coinagia. Well, I just dropped off real quick there. So you can catch us at 4 to 6 p.m. on Saturdays. I'm in the studio with my other elder and pastor at Apologia Church. His name is The Bear, Luke Pearson.
What's up?
And we're also with Joy Temby here.
Hello.
Well, again, 4 to 6 p.m. on Saturdays, you can catch us and also catch the back episodes at apologiaradio.com. Here's the deal. We were trying to squeeze into this one little episode we were stealing the episode from Tom. We're trying to squeeze in sort of a little flavor of Apologia Radio. So we were trying to do a prank call, some theologically rich stuff. And so we're going to give it a shot again. And if it doesn't work live here on the air, you can listen into the show on the weekends and listen to the past episodes of us prank calling Christian bookstores, other pastors. We like to have fun. And again, we have, you know, serious moments of well-known theologians and scholars and scientists on. But we like to have a good time. And so make the show something enjoyable to listen to. So here we go. I'm going to call Duncan as a character, by the way. I don't think I mentioned that. I'm not calling as Jeff Durbin. I'm calling as Leroy.
Oh, no.
So here we go. I'm going to get myself ready here. Okay, here we go. Okay. And yes, Luke, turn around. Shut your mouth. Don't talk to me. Here we go.
Pastor speaking.
Is Pastor Duncan?
Yeah.
Pastor Duncan, is Leroy.
Sorry?
Is Leroy that ran the deal? Tell you I'm calling you.
Yeah?
This is Leroy Hubbard from Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church.
Oh, okay.
How you doing there?
Good, man. Yourself?
I do well. I'm doing real well. Sorry it took so long to get back to you, Pastor Duncan.
That's okay.
You linked up with that Vision Arizona, correct?
Yeah.
Tell me about yourself, Pastor Duncan. You got quite a little accent there. What's that from?
It's from Australia originally, man.
From where?
Australia.
I would have guessed maybe New Zealand. That's a joke, Pastor. That's a joke. Tell me why you want to link up with the Vision?
With Vision Arizona?
Yes, sir.
Well, you know, I've been at Church of Celebration 5 years now, which is the Vision Arizona Church.
And Pastor, let's cut to the chase for a moment now. What is your doctrine?
What is my doctrine? What part of my doctrine are you asking about?
You're Baptist by nature or what?
Baptist by nature. I'm a follower of Christ by nature, I think.
Right.
So do I, you know, do I believe that baptism is for the for a person who professes a faith in Christ and therefore, and it's full immersion? Yeah, I guess so.
That's what I was going to, Pastor, I'm going to ask you that. Is, again, this is Zion Missionary Baptist Church, and we want to help support your work there in Austria. And so what we're doing...
Yes.
He's asking the doctrinal questions because we want to serve you. We've really had to find things to say about you. So, Pastor, again, this is Leroy and I to ask you. We want to ask you about if you sprinkle, if you tinkle, pour, or dunk. Now, that's a joke, Pastor.
Yeah.
Pastor Duncan, I'm just joking with you.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's all right. Yeah, I mean, I would say dunk. You know, I think the nice thing about Australia is there's plenty of water everywhere, and so I'd have baptism as a celebration, and I'd dunk folks.
Well, when are you planning? When are you planning going on out there, Duncan?
We fly.
Have you ever been to Australia?
Yeah, I mean, I lived there 26 years before I moved out here. So, you know,
Pastor, are you a young man? Are you an old man? What kind of state are you in? What kind of shape?
I'm 33 years old, and I'd say I'm in fighting fit shape. I had a tournament for jiu-jitsu 2 weeks ago.
You do it at what now?
Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, the mixed martial arts.
That's amazing, Pastor. I'm also into this wrestling. Maybe we'll do this. My name, again, is Pastor Leroy.
Yeah.
From Missionary Baptist Church. Maybe, perhaps, for the funding for your church, you and I could wrestle for it. That's a joke, Pastor. That's a joke, Pastor. Pastor Duncan, listen, I'm what some people might refer to as a big man. I got a bit of a jiggle neck. That's a joke, Pastor. What translation of the scriptures, Duncan, do you use?
What translation?
Yes, sir.
Typically, I preach from, only because all my memory verses are in it, NIV, but usually I study and preach more these days ESV.
ESV?
So, yeah.
I would have figured maybe you use the ASV.
The American Standard Version?
No, the Australian Standard Version, Pastor. That's just Leroy, and that's a joke. Pastor, listen, Pastor Duncan, I want to ask you a bit more in the future about with the other elder clan at my church. What type of church government you believe in?
I guess I'm... typically,
You follow the Moses model. You got you part in the Red Sea, and all the people of Israel following you through it.
Oh, okay, yeah. Jebediah who splits it up and says you got leaders of. Primarily, I'd say kind of elder driven. So I, you know, elders and deacons. I think elders.
Well, you're only 33 years old. Call yourself an elder. I beg to differ, Pastor Duncan. That's a joke. Pastor, listen, I got to go. Evangelize or fossilize. All right, Pastor? I'll call you back. Evangelize or fossilize. That's a joke, Pastor. That's a joke.
I love it.
It worked.
Oh, Duncan.
Wow.
Duncan.
I can't believe it actually worked.
I told you it would.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was legitimately amazing.
He's probably like, what has just happened?
That's just incredible. I can't believe we actually
got it. Seemed like he really enjoyed that, though.
It did.
He wishes that you're a real person.
And listen.
Maybe let's just never tell him.
No.
You can just always be this character.
I wanted so badly to go over the top with Leroy, but I couldn't.
Yeah.
I had stuff written down here I was going to say to him. Like, I was going to say, Pastor Leroy. Leroy Hubbard, Pastor, and I know my body, the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I'm trying to watch what I eat, and so I only order out the dollar menu at the McDonald's. That's a joke, Pastor. That's a joke. But I knew that was over the top. Wouldn't have worked.
Oh, man. So how are we going to let them know?
I don't know. I don't think just let it just let it happen.
Yep.
Let's just let it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Duncan, gotcha. I was completely skeptical. I did not think that was going to work. So now this is perfect. Everyone got to get a little flavor of Apologia Radio, what we like to do. We like to listen. I think a lack of a sense of humor shows a lack of intelligence. So, yeah. So we like to have fun and enjoy life. I think it should be full of joy. And so Duncan's a good friend of ours. He's a hilarious dude.
Yeah.
You didn't get that just now.
No, he actually held back a little bit.
Yeah, Duncan is hilarious. Like, mm-hmm. You will laugh like every minute you're with the guy. He is hilarious. He was completely serious there.
Yeah,
so I want to thank Randy Deal from Vision Arizona for hooking us up, like calling ahead of time and like setting this whole thing up so he thought someone was really calling to support him.
Yeah.
Apologize. We don't have any money to give you, Duncan.
No, he's probably all upset because he's like, whoa, I thought this guy was going to help me.
Give
out.
Him like a dollar.
He's at
something.
Home right now with his wife thinking, that was the strangest phone call. I don't want to play in a church anymore.
Should I? I
have
guess
you
I,
ever been to Australia? He said he was from Australia.
I know.
I like your
he has an
your ASV. That was yeah. Good. That
yeah.
was clever.
Yeah, Joy hooked me up with that one before we started.
Well
I was thinking it was
well
a good stuff to do. Go ahead.
I said. I guess I should tell my story of Duncan real quick so people know how funny he normally is.
Okay.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So Jeff and I saw him a couple weeks ago now, and he came up to me totally serious and says, "Whenever I see you and Jeff, I think of two precious unicorns." That's Duncan. That's how. And you didn't get that from the phone call.
You obviously didn't hear the undercurrent of unicorn in your voice.
I want you guys to hear. So we have limited time here. We have a two-hour show normally for us, but this is Tom's show, so we're just busting out the hour show we can. I want you guys to hear me talking to a friend of mine I've known for over 10 years at the temple. He's LDS. I'm going to let you hear a funny part of the clip of us being at the temple.
No thanks, Paul. I disagree. That's why it just shows that Mormonism collapses. It hasn't restored prophets and apostles to the church, because a biblical prophet you wouldn't do that with. I'm willing to bet if I handed you a copy of Luke.
You talk so fast.
Okay, I'm willing to bet if I handed you a copy of, let's say, one of Paul's writings.
Can you slow down?
Yes, absolutely.
Do you know about the fallacy of fast talking?
I might, because I had some yerba mate before I came. It's a tea.
Are you on caffeine or some... Or are you hyperactive?
No. I'm just excited to talk to you.
What is your thing that... See, this is the thing, is that you overwhelm people. You are into karate and fast talking. Do you drink 20 cups of coffee a day?
Actually, I don't drink coffee.
What are you on? Are you on some kind of medication? Or
Stefan, when you ask me a question, I'm going to answer it honestly, and I'm going to give you the scriptures.
I mean, you are just overwhelming.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll go as slow as possible because I love you.
Stefan, like
your point has been made.
I feel like I'm in a karate tournament, and I don't even have a belt. I'm holding.
You do have a belt. You have a black belt on.
No, I don't.
That's a black belt, Stefan.
Yeah, the color is black, but I'm holding up my pants with one hand, and you are, I don't know how many degrees black belt.
Five.
And,
I have five
black
belts.
Unmatched. You are a rocket scientist theologian.
No. I'm not. I just love you. I love you, and listen, I care. And so when you ask me a question, I want to answer it, and I'm going to answer it fully and faithfully. I don't think that it's genuine.
Not in your tract. You don't answer anything fully. You take sound bites from Brigham Young.
Yeah.
And he said his volume, Journal of Discourses, is what, like 2 feet or 3 feet?
It's big. Yeah.
And in your tract is like one page front and back.
Well, yeah, because I have to hand out thousands. I don't have books to hand out, Stefan. Stefan, look what you're doing.
You totally leave out.
Because how much poison does it take to kill you, Stefan?
Oh, like freedomfromreligion.org would argue the same thing.
Stefan.
And they take only the foul things that they can figure out from the Bible, and they say Christianity will poison you.
Well, if I could answer the point that we were on, what I was showing you was that a biblical prophet,
this
I'm not allowed to disagree with a biblical prophet's revelation from God. What you're doing is you're claiming as your foundation that we stand on the biblical view of prophets. We have them restored to our church. But then when I press you on something that your biblical, quote-unquote biblical prophet said, you say, I reject that. Well, he says you're damned.
Well, what about Thomas?
There's a little sampling of the caffeinated Jeff Durbin, black belt ninja.
What are you on,
Jeff? Amphetamines?
Seriously.
ApologiaRadio.com. Hit us up Saturdays 4 to 6 p.m. We'll catch you after the break.
Apologia Radio. We'll be right back.
This is the gospel heard around the world, Apologia Radio, filling in for Tom. His Koinonia show has been taken over and hijacked by Apologia Radio. This is Koinonia today with Pastor Jeff Durbin, Luke Pearson, and Joy Temby.
What
you've been listening
up?
In, and you can catch us at ApologiaRadio.com. You can also go and listen to us 4 to 6 p.m. Saturdays right here on 1360 KPXQ. Want to give you a quick recommendation for the week. Want to start doing this for our listeners. Head on over to AmericanVision.com. They have a new video out right. It's coming out May 1st or so, but you can get a copy of it ahead of time and get a little discount on it. It's Answering a Fool. It's with Cy Ten Brugenkate. It's How to Do Biblical Apologetics. Psalm 14 is where it comes from. And Luke, quick comment you want to give for the show?
I love compologetics.
Did I say that?
Yeah, you did.
Okay.
I like to, on our show, I like to share comments that people have left us on iTunes, and this is a very good one, so I think I'll share it just to give you guys a taste of what we do. So the subject is...
How many stars is it, first of all?
Oh, it's five.
Five stars,
we
maybe.
Have 26 five-star ratings.
Whoop, whoop.
And the subject is, your beard is so loud. Clearly that's referring to me and not Jeff.
Oh, no.
It's by Puritan Apocalypse. That's a great name. It says, love the show. Discovered you guys through Kitty Cat. That's Jeff, by the way. Like all of my anti-papal comments on Facebook, so I know you were legit. Everything you mentioned makes me think you stole my diary. I hope to join you on the battlefield sometime. Being as I am a West Valley guy, keep it up. Praying for you three.
Right on.
Thank you, Puritan Apocalypse.
What did you say about my beard?
Well, your beard's not very loud. It's there.
Luke. Why on this show do you do this to me? It's not even our regular time period. In front of like the drive time hour, you're just going to be...
Well, you know what?
You don't have any friends.
But my beard's
nobody
loud.
Likes you.
Someone else had something to say for you just there. Pastor
grow
Luke.
Your beard, Jeff, and you guys can have a loudness competition.
I want to tell you guys real fast. The Joy... This is some chill music, by the way.
I know. With Schmeagles, it's kind of weird.
I'm easing out of this show with Tom Brown. Yeah. This has been the Tom Brown Show. Welcome to Koinonia. Yeah. Joy has a spirit beard. That's all I wanted to say. She has a spirit beard. This is Jeff Durbin, Luke Pearson, Joy Temby, ApologiaRadio.com, Saturdays 4 to 6 p.m. Thanks, Tom.